We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, hey, how are you? You're all dressed great. Up today. Some days depends. You got the jacket on.
Some days I'm frumpy.
I took off some of my stuff today to do a bunch of interviews because we're kind of closing down the year. We don't stop, Dave. It's December 17th. A lot of people stop doing their radio shows, don't they?
Yes, and I'm glad you can't see me from the waist down.
Hey, well, I'm wearing pants for the first time. Sometimes wearing shorts for a long time until it got too chilly. But our guest today is going to teach us all about the acting process. I have so many great questions for her, but also her career. So introduce our guest.
Mary McCusker, one of the most respected acting teachers for children, young adults, and adults in Los Angeles area, born and raised in Boston, Mass. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you very much, Dave and Neil. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, but Mary's been many different projects herself as an actress. So we'll get into that in the conversation and all those different things. I guess most notably Turner and Hooch, but you can maybe you disagree with me, but we'll go to that. But Dave, go ahead in the first question.
And she's an author as well, just like me.
We're going to talk about her book and authors. Wow, we love authors, Dave, don't we?
So we love authors. So Mary, tell me how you became an actor. Let's start with the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
How did it all start?
How many hours do we have?
Oh, just take your time. We have lots of time.
I was a family clown. I started acting in high school, and then I moved to New York and studied at the Neighborhood Playhouse with a famed teacher, Sandy Meisner. It was method acting. Then I moved to San Francisco and did improv comedy with a group that we brought the show down to Los Angeles. So I came to Los Angeles as an improv actress. And I did that for a number of years. And then I got an agent who said, you have this well-rounded career. You should do comedy and drama. And then I started doing television. And I did television film for, 15, 20 years. And then a director, Joel Schumacher, was doing a movie called The Client with Susan Sarandon and Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, yes. And he said, we need a coach. And I had worked with him twice as an actress. And he said, well, can you come? Can you coach these two boys that have never acted before? And they were the leads in the film. So I flew to Atlanta, Georgia, and I coached these boys on the film. One kid's name was Brad Renfro. He became a star, a child star. And I switched careers seamlessly. I just switched. And I went from movie to movie to movie, and I worked for 10 years in feature films. And then I went to television with Malcolm in the Middle with those kids. And then it all opened up because the directors on that show went off and did their own projects. And I kind of went with them on their projects, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Big Miracle, which is the poster on my back of my wall. I just started working with directors and I found it equally creative, if not more creative. I knew the language to speak to actors because I was an actor. And then I was able to sit behind the monitor with the director on the set and give him the language to speak to the actor. Plus, because I had worked with the actors in rehearsal before we started shooting, I was able to sit and be able to give ideas for shots and or tell them personal things that might be triggers for the actors for the scene. My job when I'm an acting coach on a set is to save time on the set.
That's great.
The newer actors come prepared and with lots of confidence. So I coached Angelina Jolie when she was 19 on a movie called Foxfire. And Jenny Shimizu, who was the Calvin Klein model at the time, who had never acted before. So there were, when I went and did Big Miracle, I coached all the Inupiaq Native Alaskan people who had never acted before. So that's sort of been kind of my niche is the newer actor when I'm on set coaching.
I can't believe you coached Angelina at 19 because you don't look that old.
I'm not. I was two when that happened. It was a miracle of science. I'm Benjamin Buttons.
Oh my God.
You've told us the story already, and it's funny how you've hit two questions at once, and that goes back to your preparation as a acting coach and knowing, hey, I know how to do the interview, and you have to teach them a lot in that auditioning process. But I'm going to take you back a second. were you disappointed when you moved your role from being really the actor to the coach at first? Were you a little like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to be stuck doing this? Or do I miss the days of, you know, the cattle calls and being in films and TV?
No, I didn't. I was ready. I remember watching the Academy Awards and an actress thanked her acting coach for helping her prepare for the film. And I thought, that's it. That's what I'd like to do. And I was ready. I was really, really ready for it. You know, it's that one of those things when the opportunity arises, you jump. And I was ready to jump. It's incredibly creative to sit with a director and look at a shot. It changed everything for me. I was offered directing jobs as I moved along with Nickelodeon, and I turned it down because I thought it was too much pressure. I just really love being an acting coach. It's the perfect role for me. I love actors. I get them. I understand their fears, their struggle, their focus. I love studying human behavior. Every script I get is a study on the human condition. These films are being made. These stories are being told because they say something about what it is to be human. And so I love being a part of the storytelling and helping the actor find their way into the story.
You know, Mary, I totally get what you're saying. I'm good friends with Glenn Morshower, probably the most employable actor in Hollywood. And he gets his most fulfillment out of teaching other actors, you know, how to become actors. And it's a very rewarding process, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very creative, and it's helping tap into an individual and help them see what they need to do to get there.
Sure. Do you teach also improv? Because that's very valuable for actors.
I'm a professor at Loyola Marymount University.
Oh, wow.
So I teach one class a semester there. I teach improv one semester, and then I teach sitcom for the actor and another semester.
So my claim to fame, I did 4 minutes of stand-up at the Harvard Club of New York, and it was the scariest time of my life because what do you do if they don't laugh? Oh, my gosh. But they laughed, fortunately.
So this is one of the things I learned in writing this book, okay?
There we go. Yeah, hold it up.
I totally understand.
Good setup.
So the book is called Auditioning, What They Say When You Leave the Room. So one of the things that I learned in this book, which I knew instinctively, but it's great to hear, you know, 17 people echo it, is that your job as an actor is to show people what you've got. The audience, the casting directors, the directors, their job is to judge you per se. That's what Joey Pantoliano says in his interview. And he says, that's your job. They're doing their job. I'm doing mine. My job is to come in with a clear character, have a choice, and be excited about sharing it, and then leave. That's my job. And I love this. An interview, you can find it on YouTube, with Bryan Cranston, who I worked with on Malcolm in the Middle for many years. What an incredible guy. But one of the things he says in one of his auditions about one of his interviews about auditioning is that, you know, the actor's job is to come in and say, here's my pair of shoes. I don't know if you like them, but this is the style and this is it. You should show it, you present it, then you leave.
Wow. You know, probably the number one problem that actors have when they audition is fear, getting over that fear. And Glenn has a tip. I wonder if you do. He says, just put something funny down in your underwear, like bologna or Krispies or something like that. And okay. It just makes them calm. You have any tips?
Well, he took that from Del Close. That's in the book. Del Close was an incredible Second City. He was one of the founders of Second City Improv Comedy. And he actually told Betty Thomas to do that, to put a piece of bologna in his underpants.
I guess it works.
Saying, what's that smell? Do you smell?
I've never had where the rejection of going and acting, but on sales calls, when I do sales for my company, it is an ups and downs type of situation. And you got to know there's another person you're going to talk to next. And when you have such good close rate, how do you teach them the rejection process?
Okay, so those are two questions, and I think they're really valuable because I didn't really address the fear. So you have to fall in love with the process. And falling in love with the process is that you tell yourself this is a character I want to explore. This is a stand-up. This is something from my life I want to share. I hope you like it. It's okay if you don't. And I'm going to be going someplace else after this interview or after this that you make equally fun. And you make friends with your fear. It says you care. It says you're taking a risk. And it's okay. And it's okay to shake. I remember I used to shake when I'd go into auditions. I go, oh, okay, this is really bad. This paper is going to be shaking. You know, but acting is focus and concentration. And what you choose to focus on is where your mind will go. So that's why I'm part therapist when I'm coaching people, because I'm hearing where your brain goes and how to help you redirect it. It's okay to be frightened. That's a good thing. You're putting, I was nervous starting this with you guys today. I haven't done a ton of these.
When
so
it's scary, that's when it's great.
You see, that's, yeah, that's where you need the coaching of, you're now promoting yourself with your book. And that's a challenge. And I work with so many authors all the time, because I wear a PR hat as well. And I represent a lot of people, and really to get them to promote themselves is the hardest thing, because they always want to promote somebody else, or they've done something to promote some, but promoting myself, oh, come on now. I'm used to just helping others. And when you're acting, but now this is your project, you're used to being part of a team, Mary, or you're coaching somebody else. Now this is your brand. This is your time to shine. And that's why you have those nerves.
That's interesting. Yes. Thank you. That's really true.
You're the therapist.
Yeah.
I have to meet my clients all the time. Trust me. I have conversations all the time with my clients about, you know, their book, about their different thing, trying to figure out their whole brand. And it's a process, because they're like, I don't want to do that. I would never think of that. And it's just,
when I wrote on the back of this book, it says, this book will change your auditioning forever. I thought, oh, well, who are you to say that?
Yeah, who am I?
But then I thought, you know what? I really got great people to speak in this book. And if you're really open to looking at what the process is, I think it's really important. It could change it. One of my students actually did read the book, and she started working, because she changed her attitude from a place of fear and a place of wanting approval to, I get to share what I love today. I'm going to share it.
That's
and
great.
Then I'm going on a bike ride afterwards. I'm going to meet my boyfriend, or I'm going
to. It's performance. It's like a lot of times you're not going to hit the nail on the head with a radio interview. You're not going to get, even though I have a certain syndication, well, maybe I want to get this video out. How's it going to share? How's it going to develop? Who's going to talk about it? Well, that's the same process. A social media post, you might only get 20 likes instead of 60. Well, I'm not doing it because I didn't get 60 likes. No, it's the process. Creating content, you never know where that content's going to go. Sharing it with a director and other people in that casting, they might cast something else later that they want. So I think where you're going.
And that's exactly right. Because the casting people in this book, and even the directors, keep lists of people they like. They do remember them. And because of social media now, and the first chapter, Todd Holland, who was one of the creatives of Malcolm in the Middle, in his first chapter, he says, one of the most important things for you to do in being in this business is to protect your joy. Protect why you got into this. And I say that's applicable to life.
Yes.
With everything that's happening right now, we must protect our joy, because nobody wants to hire angry. Nobody wants to hire depressed. Nobody wants to hire a negative attitude. And if you love doing something, then protect it. Don't let people take it away from you.
Yeah. Enjoy the journey.
Yeah. Enjoy the journey.
I got out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to go to Dave's question, but it's kind of share and then let Dave ask the next question by putting my video on. Dave remembers before the pandemic, 9 months ago, I would never do video. And now I've done more video shows probably than anybody, Dave, right? I've probably done 50 or 60 and they're in the pandemic. I don't even know. I've lost track, but I still do radio. Sometimes it's radio only. And right now, because I'm quarantined, I don't have my radio studio, so I have to do everything on Zoom. So put your camera on. So I tell people, it doesn't matter what you're doing, put your camera on. But it's such a great connection you get to do it. It's a lot more exhausting, Radio, talking to somebody on the phone or radio, is so much easier than this because you got to keep your focus. You have to create that relationship. You have to not just pay attention to what they're saying, but pay attention to their body language. So there's a lot of different things. Go ahead, yeah. David, your next question.
Well, I was just going to say it's great times to be pitching because, you know, I've been on 35 TV shows. I've had to travel to every single one of those cities, but now I can just sit in my office and continue to pitch and continue to get on TV. So that's cool.
Exactly. Exactly. But in keeping with that, because I teach improv comedy now on Zoom at LMU. And what I've discovered is this is the close-up. So you get to play with frame and you actually do get to see people in a clearer way than if I was in a classroom with 18 students and people are getting up and performing, which is great. I can't wait to get back. I really can't wait to get back.
Me too.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Exactly. But see, I can pass an object. Here's that pencil you were asking for earlier. And I can pass it to you and you can pick a pencil and thank you to me. There's so many ways.
Thank you.
Exactly. Here, let me have that. Here's yours.
Thank you.
So that's great. And so I think, Mary, in this process of the audition, now, what like me coming out of nowhere and telling you, I didn't think a talk show host would come and say, I want to start acting at 47. And I guess I only acting gig I have, if you go on YouTube, Ice Bucket Challenge, I played Darth Vader. So I guess that would be considered, and it also helped in the funding. So I'm on IMBD for one thing, the Roberto Clemente film for a friend of mine that did a documentary on Roberto Clemente with an Olympian and everything, not a movie with Roberto Clemente's people about his story. But I want to act. Am I crazy? Especially a former professional wrestler, wrestled tons of matches and understand the improvisation life. Am I nuts to consider this at this age?
No.
Why not? If it's something you want to, if it's a dream or if it's something, you know, if you give up results, but I would recommend this. Take classes so that you create a foundation
that you feel
confident in. So a lot of what almost everybody in this book says is what they want to see when you walk in the room is confidence. Okay. So getting a hold of your nerves is something that you learn when you take classes. You learn to take
wrestling in front of thousands of people and having to improv and not be nervous. That taught me a lot. I tell you, I'm going to get back.
You're a wrestler. You're already an actor.
Yeah, and I know. Even though they don't do the right acting. I mean, meaning they don't keep the characters that we used to have in pro wrestling are gone. And it's terrible because people love a story. People love a character to like. If they look like everybody else, that's not variety. That's not something else. Yeah. So it's a great point you talked about nerves. But then I would love to do some improv fun things at the end of this, Mary, where we play characters like in who is it? Whose Line Is It Anyway? I interviewed one of the stars of that before we did a wrestling one where I was supposed to wrestle him in Kentucky. And it was funny. The guy, the dark hair, I can't remember these guys' names. That's terrible because I interviewed so many people. But we did a whole little improv thing. But that really shows if you can come out, you can create a character out of nothing. Because you never know when you audition, they ask you to drop everything, right, Mary, and try something else, even though you expected to do this.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, this whole interview is improvised. So we all improvise all day long because we are interacting with each other and listening to each other and working off of each other. That's what acting is. So people act more in their lives than they think they do.
Teaching is all acting. When I taught for so many years in school, I was acting like I didn't want to kill them. I feel for teachers now. I could not do it. Online teaching, meaning even you, I feel for you, but I could not do teaching elementary kids online. I think it's terrible. I cannot. They are the greatest frontline workers in the world, although they've had to shift and everything. I will never be a teacher again. I teach adults. I'll teach, you know, courses online, but I will never be a classroom teacher again because it's so much work. And the people that dedicate their lives 30, 40 years to it, I commend them beyond belief.
I do too.
Passion.
It's a passion, because teaching is the most fun thing in the world to do. to teach somebody something new to somebody and to explain it and then teach it is fantastic. And I wonder if successful CEOs, are they great teachers? I would think so, because they'd have to delegate, find the right, unless they find other people that are great teachers, because life is all about education. Dave, I'm going to go to the next question, but this is a story. Mary, I like this story. When I first started at WRCT Studios 10 years ago, it'll be 11 years. My 11th anniversary in radio will be on December. Whoa. Did I miss my anniversary? Yes, I did. In radio. My gosh, this is the first year I didn't celebrate.
We were supposed to throw you a party, Neil.
Thank you, COVID. It's 11 years now. Oh my gosh, I'll have to say that is the first. So that proves COVID. That December 6th that did come up to something. But back to my story, that 11 years ago, WRCT Studios, I started an education show. And then I started interviewing people like Mary and authors and different things. And they said, this is not an education show. I say, the way I perform my show is education. Everything is education. And if people don't understand, if you don't learn from an interview, why do an interview? Dave, so what is your take on this is education? The way I interview people is to educate people. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. All right, Dave, next question.
So what are your current projects right now? What's going on besides the book?
I will be teaching at LMU. I will be teaching sitcom for the actor. What I do in that class is I bring in directors that I've worked with in the industry. So I'll work with the students on the scene 1 week, and then the next week, the director will come in and direct them.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Most of them are, all of them are multi-camera shows. So that's pretty cool. And then I have a whole private coaching business and I have my own classes. So what was tricky with COVID is that everything shut down, but I would never have finished this book if it hadn't happened. I videotaped every one of the interviews. So they're on my YouTube channel, which is, I'm pitching away here, guys. So the book is called Auditioning, What They Say When You Leave the Room. And so that became part of my questioning on everyone was, what do you great say title. To actors when they walk out? I want to hear. I think every interview you go on, you leave and you say, okay, should I have said that? Okay, he looked at me funny. So, you know, it's that phase of paranoia that you have for questioning about what happens. So, I could go back working on sets. I've been offered jobs to work on sets right now in COVID. I'll take my time. The vaccine's coming, so we'll see what happens.
The question I have for Mary, and this is interesting, is the process. Where do you see how people are doing filming now? How's it changing? And what do you expect in the expectations? It cracks me up. NBC did not have a lot of projects that came out this, I guess, winter. Well, ABC did do a lot of filming. Why is that? Because I work with NBC on a regular basis doing tours with them. And I noticed they didn't have lots of projects they put me on. They didn't put out a lot of shows. ABC.
Well, it's LA is booming now. Everything is opened up. And
a lot of NBC stuff.
And everybody, the actors are in the A pod, and they are the most protected because they are not masked when they come on set. People are, when they leave the stage, people go into tents in their varying departments. So, you know, grips and electric are in one place. You know, everybody is, there's no craft table where you come and pick up your food. They're all in your tent. If someone gets sick in one of the pods, then that pod will go down and new people come in. They are not stopping production. It is someone told me it is a $1.8 billion industry in Los Angeles. We can't afford to have the city go down. And the crew is considered essential workers in this period.
Oh, and that's not happening in New York City, and that's not happening in Chicago. And a lot of NBC shows are shot in Chicago and in New York, right?
We can't, it would destroy the city. It already has done incredible damage. So it has to continue, and it is. I have an art decorator friend. The friends that I know are doing really well. The sets are very, very cautious.
Good.
We have Tom Cruise's voice to echo that.
I noticed watching ABC shows. I was watching The Goldbergs, and I was watching Blackish. And if you look at the shots, they're farther away, and they almost have a double when they're talking back and forth to each other. I noticed that already, Mary, that they're not so close to each other when they're doing their dialogue. Is that one of the things?
That's possibly true. I don't know 100%. Stephen Tobolowsky, who's in the book, he's one of the actors.
He's been on my show. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Isn't he awesome? Yeah. He directed me in a play, and we have been friends forever. I just saw him yesterday. So he has an interview in this book. His interview was spectacular.
He's unbelievable. Really? I did a radio one after I chased him on Facebook and finally got him on my show. But we did it, and it was ended up being late at night, and I remember it correctly. And he just was unbelievable because he had a podcast at that time. Yeah, he's a great
man. He still does.
By the way, that character on the cover looks like you, is it?
Well, you know, here's the thing. She was blonde initially, and then somebody pointed out to me. I know it does look like me, but it's not. But that I needed to make it more generic, not just, you know. This is sort of a satire on Roy Lichtenstein, who did all those pointillism 1960s satires on, oops, I forgot to have children.
Right.
cartoons. So, yes, so I changed it up.
All right, cool. So Dave has a final question. Then I want to ask one more question, Mary, because I could keep you on for hours because, you can get so much. We'll have to stay in touch and have you back on again to talk more acting, and I'll talk to your publicist about it because I'm really interested in delving further into that process to get people to pick up the book, get acting coaching. But it's interesting what people that they're afraid to go on camera. I remember I was scared to death when I first did my first wrestling promo. They always made me quiet because I'm the big guy. And he says, okay, you're going to do is cut this promo 40 seconds. I don't have a manager now and I have to do that. And it's so hard for television. Now it's like, I just ask me to go cut something quickly, but go ahead, Dave. Oh, we forgot.
That speaks to confidence that comes with practice. That's why training is important. The more you practice it, the more training you have, the less you think about it, the more spontaneous you are, the more you're you. You let your personality come out. You're not watching yourself. And that's what an actor wants to do, is not be focused on himself, but on the intention of the character and what the character wants in the scene. And when that's clear and that laser focus is there, you're not saying, how do I look? What do people think? Oh my God.
No, and that's
all secure. The nerves can be there. That can be the juice.
Exactly. All right, Dave, your caregiver question, then we have to do something improvisation with Mary. I really want to do this. This is going to be fun. I'm putting her on the spot tonight. And Mary could create the characters of what she would do in improv, like a quick improv deal, and ask all of us. But go ahead, Dave, with your question.
Well, Mary, I'm in the gas station business, owned a gas station for 42 years. My wife had a headache 22 years ago. And she just... We called the ambulance. It was too late. She had a stroke, lost her speech, became paralyzed. And we had to work through that. After about 2 years, you know, we reinvented ourselves. And now I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver. Guys, I realize there's so many other caregivers out there who are suffering. I didn't want them to go through what I went through. So I met this coach. He taught me how to promote. Now we travel the world and we've been on 35 TV shows. We have spoken on stages, just helping caregivers stay alive because 30% of them die before their loved ones do. And so my question to you, because I believe I'm writing my fourth book now, I believe that you're either going to become a caregiver or you're going to need one. I mean, it's just inevitable. So I started caregiverdave.com, great support group. My question to you, Mary, is has caregiving touched your life yet?
Wow, that's phenomenal. I'm so appreciative of your voice and what you are teaching people. Has caregiving touched my life? Yes, I mean, I think everybody has loss, you know? So I've lost family members and been a part of their passing. So yes, that has touched my life.
Yeah, it's not easy. Burnout is usually accompanied with it. That's why, you know, you got to put your oxygen mask on first, as the airlines tell us.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Now I'm going to throw you out again. Improv, Mary, create a real quick scene that we have to be a characters, all three of us, and do it.
I wish you had given me a minute to think of what I could do.
Well, you got to be ready in season and out.
Okay, we are. Let's see. We're three people stuck in an elevator, and we need to get out, and we've been here for about a half hour.
Okay. All right. I'll start it out, and then you go, Mary. What's going on? I need to get to this meeting. Why am I stuck in this elevator? Let me call my agent. This is ridiculous.
Sir, could you pull your mask up? You are emitting all kinds of things when you yell. Please, could you just, take it down a notch?
No, I can't, because I have to get to this appointment.
Yes, I agree.
You know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm a therapist, and I just think you should calm down. I think you should breathe, because you have no control over this, right? Let's try to control what we have control over, and that's your attitude. That's your emotions. Right now, your emotions are out of control, sir.
I got to get to my place. I have to get there right now.
Put your hands out. I'm going to climb up. There's a vent up there. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to climb up, and I'll see. Put your hands. All right, here I go. All right, I'm going up.
I got you. Up we up.
What do you see up there?
Come on up here.
Okay, take the therapist first. I'll go last. I can climb up myself.
All right, come on, therapist. Come on, here we go. It's great up here.
Yeah. I don't feel claustrophobic anymore. Come on up, buddy.
That was great. You're awesome. Have you ever done that on an interview? That was a great throwing off.
No, that's a first. That is completely a first.
Out of your comfort zone.
That was fun. All right. So best place. What a great coach, and how she came up with the whole thing with the elevator. Where can we find information so that people can maybe decide to take her improv class or different things? Best place to go.
Best place to go is MaryMcCuskerActingStudio.com, or go to my YouTube channel to look at the videos that are excerpts from this book, which is auditioning, what they say when you leave the room. And then what else?
That's all. Go to Amazon, pick up the book anywhere.
And I have a website. So check my website out.
Yeah, Google her. She comes up everywhere. I appreciate it, Mary. Thank you, Dave. And
next time we're going to do a series of acting exercises, and we're going to go into more depth on method acting, how to cry on camera.
Oh my gosh. I think the only way I could cry is thinking about my father. So there you go. That's something I have to work on.
Everyone who touches emotion in film is opening their heart. It's the willingness to open your heart, as you have, Dave, in your life. What a powerful story.
All right.
Thank you.
Dave actually told me one time he cries by pulling a nose hair out of his nose. It's called external, I guess.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I'll have to work on it. All right. I appreciate you guys. All right, guys. That was the caregiver.
All right. Thank you.
Great, Mary. Thank you.
Really fun.
You're welcome. Bye.
No, okay.